In your prayers, and I might add my 2 cents to it. I thank the Lord that he blessed us to get the power back on. We were scrambling around here to see what we might be able to do, but we didn't have to. So thank the Lord that he answers quick prayers sometimes, or answers prayer quickly sometimes. Well, I trust everyone's done their homework. We come to Psalm 124. And again, this is one of the Song of Degrees. This is the fifth of this section of the Psalms. This psalm would remind the pilgrims and strangers as they journeyed to Jerusalem and back 3 times in a year that as God has been the helper of his people in ages past, he will always be the help that they need. No matter when, no matter what circumstance, God will always be there for his people. So as they made their journey, they had a great deal to comfort them because there were many dangers that could befall the traveler in those days. And we read many times about those, as they made their journey, there were bands of robbers. There was an uneven terrain and plenty of places for them to hide, many of places for them to ambush the travelers. And so, and that's what happened, by the way, to the man that traveled from Jericho, wasn't it? And fell among thieves. Okay? So that was a great concern and great problem in their day. But so also today, we have many things that could hinder and injure us, but God is still our help. Is that true? I don't know of any better help. Couldn't imagine any better help that we have than the Lord. Now, it depends on how readily we remember that in our times of trouble as to how much peace and comfort we might receive from it. You know, sometimes folks think of the Lord as a spare tire, last resort. But if we're walking with him, we don't have to wonder if he'll come to our aid. We know he's already there. All right, so verse 1. This is the Song of Degrees of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. Now, you'll notice as we go through this psalm, this is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise to God for the helper that he is. And you see the title that I've given it, The Pilgrim's Great Help. He's been the great help of God's people in the past. He's our great help today. He'll always be the great help for God's people as they travel through this land. So if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, for those who are so blessed to know the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? Now that's a tremendous understatement. But as far as language is concerned, what a blessing it is that we know the Lord. Man didn't teach us. Man can teach us about the Lord, but he didn't teach us in our heart to know him. We become intimately acquainted with him when he gives us his Spirit. And that's the only way. All right? So for those who are so blessed to know the Lord, it is a great and constant comfort to know that he always knows our need. Does he always know it? How well does he know it? He doesn't need to know anything else, does he? He knows it. All right? He always knows our need. He's entirely able to supply that need. That's good too, isn't it? Not only does he know, but he can do something about it. All right? And what he can do is anything that's according to his will. So he's the Lord of hosts, isn't he? He's the Almighty, but as we've spoken many times about the Lord of hosts, in other words, a God of endless supply, whatever we need, he can bless. And he loves us always for Jesus' sake. And I tell you, we could be shouting happy about that too. Because there's not anything in us to cause God to love us, but for Jesus' sake. Doesn't that just melt your heart? For Jesus' sake, we're blessed. For Jesus' sake, He provides for us and helps us and watches over us, knows our need, and has a desire to come to that need. For Jesus' sake. We don't ever want to forget that, do we? Moreover, because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, we can never be separated from the love of God. There's just so much about this that can cause us to rejoice and to be thankful to God for what we have in knowing Him and knowing that He's our help. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. All right? So, as Romans chapter 8, as wonderful as the whole chapter is, as it comes down to the conclusion there by telling us there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He's our helper today. He'll be our helper tomorrow and the next. That fact is glorious. But if we didn't know it, it wouldn't be much comfort. God doesn't change, cannot change. He's gloriously our help, but if we didn't know it, it wouldn't be any comfort to it, would it? All right. However, our text says, now may Israel say. Israel represents the people of God. And as God's people, we do rejoice to know that God has done great and marvelous things for us for now and eternity. What a rest there is in knowing that the work of redemption is complete in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not working for it. We don't have to worry ourselves sick about whether somebody else accepts the Lord and receives Him as their personal Savior in order to be saved. What a blessing it is to know that when Jesus died, He died for all that was given to Him to save. I tell you, and we can never be separated from Him. So we can lie down and rest at night in the finished work of our Lord. Verse 2, he repeats, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. We find many occasions in Scripture, as well as from my own personal experience, when men have risen up against God's people. Have you ever been opposed by someone that didn't believe or didn't believe like you do? That's not a good feeling, is it? When somebody questions what you believe and they're all loaded with their argument, that's just not a good place to be. I mean, just not a good, it doesn't give you a good feeling, does it? Well, that's just a difference in belief. But what if you had an enemy coming against you? An army coming against you? If a whole army rose up against you? You ever stop to think about how that would feel? We've never had to worry about that in this country, have we? At least not in our generations. Hadn't had to worry about that. But Israel had to worry about that many times. And that's a lesson for us. Whenever the enemy rises against us, do we have help? Do we have to stop and think about whether we have help? He is our help. All right? Okay, so there's many occasions that Israel experienced that, and then we also in our personal experience have. It can make you feel helpless, can't it? Just think how fearful Israel was against Goliath and the Philistines. I want you to think about that situation for just a moment. When Goliath would come out and make his challenge, what was Israel doing? They were scurrying for cover, weren't they? They were shaking in their sandals. To think about one man. Now, he was a giant of a man. I'll give you that. All right? Well, Saul was head and shoulders above the rest of Israel, wasn't he? And he wasn't going out against Goliath. They were fearful, weren't they? Tremendously fearful, all right? But when did their help arrive? What's that? Is that when their help arrived? This is a trick question. Think about it. Was there help in David? I want you to think about this now. I got a whole paragraph about this. Was there help in David? All right. I guess I better read because I'm liable to say the same thing. Wasn't there help already there? But they were fearful. Well, where was their help? Now, I tell you, that was a trick question because we understand that David's arrival had a lot to do with what's about to happen. But I want you to think about that. Maybe later on, after we finish this study, think about that experience. Israel's army was fearful. They were shaking at the challenge of one man. Giant as he was, it was just a man. But their help was already there. God was there. Okay? David only made use of the help that was already there and which was already available to all of Israel. Was he not? This was his chosen people. He promised to be with them and manifest his presence among them. However, notice the tremendous amount of help that was received when David, who had a perfect confidence in the ability and willingness of his God to help, when he showed up, stood up, and took advantage of that help. Now that's interesting, isn't it? I'm going to pause from the notes here. Their help was already there, but nobody was calling upon God. He's the one that was the help anyway, wasn't he? But their things changed when David showed up because he had a perfect confidence in God. Evidently, the others didn't. Evidently, David's brothers was more interested in criticizing him for leaving those few sheep that their father had and accusing him of out of curiosity, wanting to come down and see what was happening with the battle. But you remember what he said? Is there not a cause? And you could take that in a lot of directions. There was a cause why Goliath was causing all of Israel to tremble, because they were looking to some man to deliver them instead of the God of heaven who could deliver them in a moment. And so when David came with a perfect confidence in the Lord, then things changed, didn't it? But their help had always been there. They just weren't looking for him for the help. Isn't that a tremendous life lesson? For anything we face in life, where are we looking for our help? We have it, and he's willing to provide it. I know a lot of times we don't feel like we're worthy that he should do it. Our worthiness is not the test. If it were, we're all doomed. Our worthiness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a proper way to approach God. Confess our sins. Humble ourselves before him. and ask him for the help that we need. But there's also a way to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's not arrogantly, that's not in pride, that's not coming to him thinking that we deserve it. But we can come like David did with a perfect confidence, trusting that God can deliver, and then trusting that he will. Don't you love those stories in the scriptures, like David and Goliath and the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? And how that God didn't choose to deliver them from the furnace, he chose to deliver them in it. Who was the brother up at the North Georgia Fellowship meeting that said the Lord was in the fire waiting for him? Isn't that a good thought? The very thing that they didn't, you know, that they were trying to avoid, God was in there waiting for them. I like that. All right? So, David showed up, he stood up, and he took advantage of the help that was available. Wouldn't we do well to follow that example? All right? David had already experienced many occasions where God had delivered him. You've read about those, haven't you? David even told Saul. So when Saul would tell David, well, thou art but a lad. You know, somebody, well, I don't know if they'd use the term now, but in times past they might have called him a whippersnapper. You know, what's he going to do? We've got seasoned soldiers here. What's this young boy going to do? Well, he's going to show them. All right? But David had been delivered from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. Those are formidable foes, aren't they? To a young boy. Okay? But God delivered him then. And David felt like that the Lord would deliver him from that uncircumcised Philistine in the same way. All right? So David had already experienced many occasions where God had delivered him, and he showed all of Israel that God is able and willing to deliver those who trust in him. Now, I've quoted it enough, you probably ought to know it by heart by now. 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. That's a favorite of mine. I can't say it's my favorite because there's too many of them. But it's a favorite. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. See, you think about our adversary the devil, as Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 5. When Peter said, our adversary the devil goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Well, that kind of scares us, doesn't it? Because he's a formidable foe. But if you remember that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart's perfect toward him, we've got help. We've got help. And we've got better help than any foe we're going to face. I think I said that somewhere in here. All right? I gave you another reference. I won't take time to turn to it, but Psalm 34:15 is another good passage of how that the Lord is our helper. So we certainly understand that it was God's power that delivered Israel on that day, wasn't it? It wasn't David. It was the power of God. But God was pleased to give it. Right? But think of the difference that David brought onto the scene. Now, I want to give all the glory to God. But I want to tell you, there's something David did on that occasion that was a blessing to all of Israel. He trusted God to deliver them. And it made a big difference, didn't it? Tremendous difference. If he hadn't, they may still have been standing there trembling. Have you ever had anybody to show a great confidence in the Lord and it encouraged you? It inspired you? It encouraged you to do a little more? We're all waiting around for somebody else to do that, or can we do that ourselves? How about we be an encourager and inspire somebody else or stir somebody else up or give somebody else a little more confidence? Let's not wait for anybody else. Let's be that ourselves. If God has blessed us to know Him, if God has blessed us to know He's our helper, if God has blessed us to know that our acceptance in Him is based upon the merit of Jesus Christ and not ourselves, then let's come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. David was trusting God. David was blessed of the Lord to do wonderful things by the power of God. Okay, you know, David slung the stone, but I'm just satisfied that God took over from there. All right, so what a difference David brought onto the scene. While it is likely that there were some good and godly folks there, why were they fearful and trembling at Goliath's challenge? Because they weren't trusting God for it, were they? Okay. How could David eagerly go out against Goliath? That's my answer. His confidence was in the Lord. He had experience. You know, that helps, doesn't it? When you've seen the hand of the Lord work on your behalf, it strengthens you, doesn't it? It emboldens you. It gives you experience. You know, Romans 5, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So that experience in life, when the Lord delivering us, showing Himself strong on our behalf, I tell you, it helps us to be more courageous the next time, to be more confident in the Lord the next time. Because that's where the confidence has to be, is in the Lord, not in man. And certainly not in ourselves. All right, that's how David could eagerly go out against Goliath. So while we give all glory to God for His deliverance, it didn't happen until David arrived. And I wanted to make that point. I want you to think about that. We know the Lord's power is what delivered them. But they were all trembling until David came along and was willing to go out against Goliath. There is a part for walking by faith, isn't there? And trusting the Lord. We can be there's no telling how much of an encourager we could be to somebody else. Okay? All right. Verse 3. So in both of these first two, the question was, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. He says in verse 3, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Now that's a true statement. We're no match for many of the foes that come against us in this world. Just like Israel of old and many of the battles, while they were outnumbered tremendously. But God blessed them. You know, so he's acknowledging here, verse 3, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. When the enemy is great and we are small, we may feel like the 10 spies in Numbers 13:33 who gave the evil report. Remember that? Kadesh Barnea? God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, not by their power, by his power. Came to the Red Sea, not by their power, but by his power. God parted the Red Sea, not by their power, but by his power. But when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they thought he'd leave them to their own power. No. But that's how they started thinking. So that evil report that they gave, saying, and there we saw those ten spies now that came back with the evil report. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. How did they know what they were thinking? But that's what they were feeling. They felt like grasshoppers in their sight. And they assumed that those giants felt like that they were like grasshoppers in their sight. Well, let's just for a moment just assume that's true. Does that change anything as far as the Lord's concerned? The Lord told them, go over there, spy out the land. He didn't come back, he didn't tell them to come back and see if they were able to take it. He told them, spy out the land and see if it's the good land that I said it was. And they found out that it was. But they presumed to say they're not able to take it. And just like that, all of Israel's defeated again. Remember, the people just wept sore at the evil report. I didn't go into Joshua and Caleb, but you remember those two, don't you? They tried their best to encourage the people, we are able to take it, because they weren't trusting in themselves. They were trusting in the Lord. By the way, do you remember who wanted that mountain where those giants lived? When they finally, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and finally were going to go in and conquer the land, do you remember who it was that wanted that mountain that had the giants on it? Caleb. He was too old by then, though, wasn't he? How old was he? 85. He was just as strong then as he had been 40 years earlier. And he wanted that mountain. He'd been waiting for 40 years for it. All right? But you see how just a small number discouraged the whole nation. We need to be careful with our words, don't we? All right? We may feel like that we'll be swallowed alive by our troubles, but that is when we most need to remember that the Lord is on our side, because he's the one we're trusting and not ourselves. All right? This is not because we're good, but because God is so good. And he has all the power to help us. That seems so hard to do sometimes, doesn't it? To put that trust in the Lord when you're facing troubles. But if we'll be walking with him during each day, then we'll feel more of his presence when we face those troubles. So we don't have to go find him to ask him for the help. All right? All right. Psalm 37, verse 39 says, but the salvation, remember the verse said, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. But Psalm 37 says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Also Psalm 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That short verse says so much. A very present help in trouble. I tell you, we've got all many reasons to rejoice in the Lord being our help. No wrath that man can kindle is any problem for us when God is on our side. Verse 4. He's continuing with this, saying, if it had not been for the Lord, then they would have been swallowed up by their enemies. He says, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Another way of expressing what would have happened if the Lord had not been on our side or their side. A great mental image is presented by comparing trouble and opposition to the force of waters flooding over us. There's tremendous force and power with large amounts of water continuously coming against you. You ever been in a stream or river or maybe a flood and felt the force of that water? Or maybe the tide when it's, after it comes in and then goes back out, it can drag you out there, can't it? Tremendous power in moving water. So think of what the psalmist is saying here. The waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. There's not much of anything that can withstand such power coming against it. But no matter what trouble is coming against the people of God, God is greater in power, is he not? Wisdom and might. All of those things combined. Think of the kind of help that we have with his power, his power, his wisdom, and his might. No one has any authority against him. You know, the word power in Scripture, I didn't have this in the notes, but it just came to mind. The word power in Scripture can mean basically two things, either authority or ability. So that's why I said here, no one has any authority against him. You know, proud Nebuchadnezzar, who was the ruler of the known world in his day, and he got lifted up in pride, thinking that the power of his might had built this great kingdom, Babylon. Later on, after the Lord dealt with him, he says, he rulest in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can say unto him, what doest thou? Okay? So, there's no power that's any match for the Lord. So not only does no one have any authority against him, he knows all that there is to know about any situation, as well as what's needed for its remedy. And no power can stand against us in his presence. Remember Romans 8:31? If God be for us, who can be against us? Okay? So, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. All right? I didn't put the reference down there, did I? That's Proverbs 3:5. Okay? Also, Psalms 46:5 speaks of the city of God, which today refers to the church, saying, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Well, I love the way that's worded. You know, we don't have to wonder whether he's going to show up in a week or 2 weeks. He says, and that right early. He comes when it pleases him, obviously, but when we need. Verse 5, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. So first of all, he's talking about the floods or the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then he said, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. What does that bring to mind? Well, although this is much the same as our previous verse, yet this specifically conjures up thoughts of the walls of water, the Red Sea, and also that of Jordan. Remember the experiences the children of Israel had with the Red Sea and with the Jordan River? You know, on one occasion when they crossed the Jordan River, when the priests put their feet in the water began to rise up like a wall, and the rest of it ran off, and they went across. But when they stepped in, or they came to the Red Sea, the waters congealed. Yeah. You know, jet like jello on either side, and the whole million or 2 million people crossed over on dry land. Do you believe that? I do too. That's exactly how they crossed over. All right? So, this conjures up thoughts of the walls of water, the Red Sea, and also that of Jordan, through and beside which the children of Israel passed, apparently without a drop getting on them. Now, I can't prove that, but everything I've read in the scriptures, it seems like that's the case. That not a drop. They went across on dry land. So, you know, I'm not going to make a point of that so much, but I'm just saying the way that the Lord divided, the way he made it stack up, he kept it from them. The very thing that was hindering them, the Lord took it out of their way. You ever felt like the Lord's opened up the Red Sea for you? He can. He has. He can do it again if he wants to. When Jesus was, during his earthly ministry, he didn't make a point of dividing the Red Sea, but he did talk about if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. You know, one place it talks about you could say to this mountain, remove thou hence and be cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Or a tree being plucked up by the roots. You know, both of those passages are there. Those have intrigued me. Have you felt that way about those passages? They have intrigued me over the years. You know, are we not stepping out on faith like we should many times? He's still the help that we need. He's still just as able. Okay? I better get back to the notes. I may be saying the things that I've already written. All right. So, they crossed over. And how could this be? I mean, who ever heard of water standing in heaps and like towering walls? Just water. Okay. The children of Israel saw it. In Moses' song of deliverance, remember Exodus 15, from the Egyptians on the farther bank of the Red Sea, that is, after the Lord parted the Red Sea and after they crossed over and after they saw the waters come down and drown the Egyptians, the army of the Egyptians, on the other side, they would look back and they sang that song of deliverance. Exodus 15, the whole chapter is given to that, all right? And it said, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. That's what God did for his people. And in principle, he can do that today. Well, literally, he could do that if he wants to. All right, he's done it. He's shown us his mighty power. So no amount of pride, craftiness, or strength will ever prevail as long as God is on our side to help us. Verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. We know that there have been times that the Lord allowed and even sent destruction upon his people. Okay? Many times we talk about the Babylonians. The Lord sent them to take Israel captive. Okay? So we know that that has happened many times. We also know that if not for Jesus, we would have no hope of eternal peace with God. Further, because Jesus' merit will ever stand as our justification and acceptance before the Father, and since God will never change his requirements, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Remember that? That's Malachi 3 and 6. The first part of that is, for I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's where our safety is. It's in the Lord, what he's done for us, and what will ever stand before him is our acceptance. And so when we reckon it all up, we find that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I left that reference off too. That's Lamentations 3:22. Okay. We have nothing in which to boast except in the grace that the Lord is on our side. Verse 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. By the mercy and grace of God, we can rest and rejoice in his promises. I hope you do that from time to time. Just pause and consider the great works that God has done for us, the privileges we have, the promises that he's given us. You know, he's made some promises that are not yet realized. We know they're secure in Christ, but he promised, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. We're waiting for that, aren't we? And it can't be any sooner than, you know, I mean, as soon as he wants to come, that's fine, isn't it? All right. So, by the mercy and grace of God, we can rest and rejoice in his promises. How wonderful that we can read, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Remember, our verse said, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we're escaped. That bird was set free, even though he was captured. All right. But how wonderful that we can read, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? You know, we were held, we were captive by a mighty foe, weren't we? And we were lawful captives because we were guilty of sin. We were lawful captives. All right? But this is out of Isaiah, by the way. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Aren't you glad the Lord is on our side? That when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. All right. Verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you could know how much power it took to make heaven and earth, then you know that the Lord still has at least that much power in coming to our help. Because he cannot change. Now I'm sure, I'm satisfied from just the reading of the scriptures that God has a lot more power than what he manifested in creating this world. But even that is tremendous, isn't it? I mean, we're still discovering the intricacies of things that we take for granted every day in this world. And yet God in his wisdom and his power brought it into existence. Further, our help is in the name of the Lord. We know our help's in the Lord, his power, his glory. But when he speaks of the name of the Lord, and he's not just talking about Yahweh or El Shaddai or some of those Bible names, but when he says in the name of the Lord, how do I put it here? This embraces the truth of who he is and what he has done. All of it. In the name of the Lord. All that he is and all that he has done. The true and living God. See, there's no way a name would adequately describe our God. There's no way we'll ever speak of all the works of our God. But when we talk about the name of our God, the name of the Lord, this embraces the truth of who he is, what he's done. He says, I am God, and there is none like me. We find that twice in Isaiah, almost the same wording. But we shall forever praise him because he placed his love upon us and was on our side. So how did he start out? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. If you just take that thought, I'm sure you come up with much more than what I've written on these few verses. But I hope that we'll think about that every day. If it hadn't been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? We'd be lost and ruined and without hope, wouldn't we? Oh, but he is on our side. We feel his love in our heart. He's blessed us to know him. He's blessed us to know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us to know the grace that we have through his Son and all that he's done for us. May the Lord help us every day we live to think about the blessings we have because the Lord is on our side. May God bless you is our prayer.